I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Episode 313.
I don't know, but it sounded like it said episode weird.
Probably did. We're recording on a Monday, and it's been a Monday, so probably did.
Oh my gosh, has it been a Monday?
Taxes do be taxing.
So I've been dying to tell you this part, but I wanted to save it because it's so silly. So y'all, I went to the cardiologist. That's not silly. But
that silly little cardiologist, what did he tell you, heart failure?
But no, so I have a heart murmur, and I've only really ever been told I had a heart murmur when I'm like really sick. But the last time they were like, hey, you should go see a cardiologist. It's taken me this long to like actually get in to see the person, doctor, cardiologist, whatever. And he was so freaking nice. Like seriously, top two like medical professionals, I mean, besides you. But I've never seen you.
Right.
But anyway, so like seriously, the best, the best. Well, he...
What did you do, Patty Joe?
Well, he did something, but then I did something.
Okay.
So he was like 39. He was just super nice. You know, like we're chill. And he's like, okay, I'm going to listen to your heart. I was like, okay. And so I was like, do I need to breathe in heavy, like breathe in deep, or... what do I need to do?
Yeah.
Because you never know. Like when they put it to you, you're like.
Right. Are we going lungs? Are we going? I mean, I know you said heart, but like what you need? Do I need to stop breathing?
Yeah. What do I need to do?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But he was like, no. Just breathe normal. And then, so he's like right on me, you know, and I'm like breathing normal. And I need you to now strain like you're about to poop. And I was like, huh? And he was like, yeah, but he don't know that I've been having trouble going. So like. And it was one of those mornings where my stomach was stomaching and I was like, oh, I need to use the bathroom, but I was in a hurry. And so I was like,
yeah.
And so he said that. I was like, oh, God. Like, you know, I go balls to the walls. So
do.
And so I was like, okay. And so like, I like, is that enough? Like, what do I need to do? And I was like, I said something and he said, yeah, no, that's good. He said, like, when you strain, you could hear the murmur more. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, I just didn't want to go too hard because, you know, I didn't want to actually have to shit myself. And he was like, yeah, we don't want that.
God, of course you said that.
It just scared me because he's like, okay, I need you to do something. I was like, well, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Strain like you're about to poop. Well, if I strain too much,
oh,
sir.
Oh, my gosh.
It might come out. And, like, I do like you, so I cannot.
Not be able to ever come here again?
Like, I can't be exiled by myself. Like, uh-uh.
Yeah.
But it was so funny. And it was just like, it threw me off, like totally threw me off. But then later, we were just talking about everything. Cause of course, you know, like I'm asking him all the questions and all the things. And he was like, I mean, you're young, something, something, something. I was like, what did I say? I was like, you think I'm young? And he was like, well, I mean, you're younger than me. And yes, we're young. But I was like, oh my God. Like how you always be like, so you think I'm pretty or
yes.
Whatever? But
well, that's from a TikTok. So you think I'm skinny?
But yeah. Oh my God. But we had so much freaking fun. And then at one point I was like, oh, what did my EKG look like? Because they did it like right when it came on. And he was like, oh yeah, sorry. It was good. I was like, poor guy. I've got him frazzled. He's got me frazzled. And I'm about to shit myself.
His name is Cuss about to shit her pants. Fucking EKG. I became a proctologist.
Like, I was like, who? You don't know what you're asking, buddy.
Colby and I started watching Criminal Minds from the beginning. And I can't believe how much I remember from the first season. I must have watched this a couple of times.
Yeah, probably have. Well, also, I think you watched it again with me.
And I watched it in Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Well, because I don't think Colby's seen all of it. So, like, we're going through and watching it because we caught up on FBI finally. We went through an episode. And I was like, that's the last one. And Colby's like, no, it isn't. And I was like, yes, it is. He was like, well, now what are we supposed to do?
I hate that when you don't know it's going to be the last
yes.
one. And you're like, because sometimes I rush through things and I'm like,
yes.
Okay, I'm ready to know what happens next. And then I'm like, wait, that was the last one. I wasn't even like prepared. I didn't enjoy it.
Right. You're like, wait, I'm called up?
Yeah.
Yeah, so now we have to wait with all you peasants.
Okay, so I want your honest opinion on something.
No, that's my opinion.
You are the original grumpy cat. Like, she
you
even looked
like
to the
cats.
Side. She was just like, no. That's probably going to be your answer. Okay, So I have really been thinking, and I kind of talked to you about it once, like mentioned it, you know, but am I cool enough to start a TikTok? Because I was just thinking, like I told her that I was looking through TikTok because I've been like more on TikTok than Carrie has lately. I don't know what's going on with me, but I saw like one that we had like on the APC one that's basically, you know, dead. But there was a Bo video and then one of Marley. And of course, that made me tear up on both of them because they're both gone, you know. And I was just thinking how we had said, we don't document anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like, it like really affected me seeing that video of her because I've completely forgot about it or whatever. And so I was like, I really do need to document more. But also kind of want to hold myself accountable a little bit because I'm trying to start more skincare stuff. Mm-hmm. And I bought some off like the Equate version of Rogaine for my hair. And so like, I was just trying to think because like when I look at people, it's always I find the people who are at the end of their journey.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, but like, what did your hair look like before that? Or
right.
What did your skin look like before that? Because I never find them like at the beginning of their journey. And so then I get impatient.
Right.
Because I'm like, why don't I look like that? Or why don't my blah, 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 blah. So I was thinking like documenting that way. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So my answer is no, you're not cool enough, but I do think you should do it.
Well, and then I was like, just if I do get a puppy or something to have like it would be more I would be more apt to document things and like have videos and all of that. Cause I do have pictures of Marley in some videos, but like a lot of them like have been erased because of storage issues and stuff like that. So it's like, I would have a place, you know, for that. I don't know. But I was like, I don't know. But also I'm about to be 40. And I was like, this is like, I'm trying to find a boo thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta work on myself because how the hell are you going to love someone else if you don't love yourself? So I'm working on that. But I don't know. I was like, is that interesting? I don't know.
But okay. Well, here's the thing. If no one watched it, would you still enjoy it?
Probably.
Then do it.
Okay. And you're not going to make fun of me?
Oh, well, I will, but okay. I'll watch them and I'll give you likes.
Thanks.
So you'll have one like. Just kidding. You know, everybody that listens to this that has TikToks will be like, what's Donna got going on in her day today?
But it might be boring. I don't know.
Well, it will be because that's why I don't have anything on my Instagram or my Facebook because I'm boring as fuck.
Yeah, me too. But I think it's more about holding myself accountable to like doing the like skincare at night, doing the Rogaine, talking through that, seeing my results. Because also it's very hard for me to see results on myself.
Yeah.
But also here is another thing, but to be completely transparent, I am on Zepbound right now and I am trying to lose some weight so I can get a hysterectomy.
Yeah.
And so I was just thinking like that would hold myself more accountable on just like not doing like what I eat in a day and all of that stuff because I'm not to that level of, you know, I'm just like struggling over here. But I do want to get the hysterectomy. I do have to lose weight to get the hysterectomy.
Right.
And then also, like, seeing people go through that and, like, you know what I mean? Just what does that look like on someone who is bigger or, you know, things like that, just to be out there to help if someone else is going through this or whatever. So I don't know. I was just, like, more documenting that stuff.
Yeah. See, I don't like accountability like that. So that sounds like my personal hell.
Well, I haven't liked it either. And that's why I'm 38. And I'm like, wait. Yeah, I need to do something. And not that it's bad if you don't have skincare or whatever, but it's like, those are the things I want to work on.
Yeah, they're meaningful to you.
Yeah. And also, you know, I be dating the younger guys now, so I can't be having all this hyperpigmentation. They don't understand. Well, some would be like, oh, I love your freckles.
That's what I was about to say. They think it's freckles. Well, before we get into Donna's story, and speaking of taking better care of ourselves, we got to talk about apostrophe.
Like I mentioned, I have hyperpigmentation, some fine lines and wrinkles, and, you know, dark under eye circles, all the things. But I just had my consultation with apostrophe for the second round, and we're going up a little bit because, you know, I needed a little bit more. But I was able to talk to a dermatology provider after taking that skincare quiz to be like, okay, this is what's changed, or this is what I want to focus on now. Because at first it was a little bit more rosacea, and now it's more hyperpigmentation that I'm worried about. And seriously, it was as easy as 1, 2, 3. I was able to do the live consultation on my lunch break. And she even said that not everywhere has to have a lab consultation. So that might be something if you're like, oh, I really don't want to talk to anyone. You might not have to, depending on where you live.
Well, what is Apostrophe and what the heck is Dawn talking about? Apostrophe is an online platform that connects you with an expert dermatology team to get a customized treatment plan for your unique skin. So it can be like all those things that Donna mentioned, or if you have trouble with acne, bacne, buttne, all the different types of acne, that is really where Apostrophe specializes. Through Apostrophe, you can get access to oral and topical medications that use clinically proven ingredients to help clear acne and, you know, help you with all of the other skin issues you may be having, like fine lines and wrinkles, hyperpigmentation, rosacea, if you're me. You fill out an online consultation about your skin goals and your medical history. Take a few quick little selfies, and a dermatology provider will create a customized treatment plan just for you.
Also, if you're like me and you've done Apostrophe before, when you take your new snapshots, it shows you from like the first time and now. So like you have your skin journey that you can see in photos.
I know. I need to re-up my thing because I need simplicity. And if there's too many steps, I'm not going to do it. Like, I'm just flat out not going to because it's not how I operate. And like for me, because I use a CPAP, having this whole like long nighttime routine and then going to put on a CPAP mask, like it doesn't work for me. So that's something that, you know, you talk to your dermatology team about and you say like, these are my concerns. Like it needs to be more, you know, a daytime routine or blah, 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 blah. You know, you get to talk to them and really tell them what your concerns are and all of that. And they develop a plan just for you.
And also, I had about a zillion questions and the dermatology provider was more than accommodating and, you know, like really talked me through all of my questions and all of my concerns.
And like Donna was saying too, there's no in-person appointment needed or trip to the pharmacy. Whether you have to have like the Zoom call with the provider or a phone call, and then it gets shipped directly to your door. And it comes with cute little postcards and stickers so you can put them on your bottles so that you know like which is which. This is AM, this is PM, this is that. And you're not having to like pick it up and then like, you know, we're getting older. So like moving the bottle away from our eyes because we're like, what does that say? Does that say AM? Does that say PM? The you know, and the bottle's in the next room and you're still trying to read it. And right now we got a deal for y'all. You can get your first visit for only $5 at apostrophe.com/creep when you use the code CREEP. That is a savings of $15.
So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/creep. Then click get started and then use our code CREEP at sign up and you'll get your first visit for only $5.
It's that simple. Head on over to apostrophe.com/creep and use our promo code CREEP and you're going to get your first visit for $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
Okay, so this story is a recommendation from Angela C. on Facebook, and the story is from her neck of the woods over yonder in Canada. So we're talking about a place in the Northwest Territories called Nahanni Valley, which has a nickname, but I won't tell you just yet. And I kind of feel like you when you have something that it's unsnapped or missing, yes. And you're like, I'm not going to tell you yet because it'll give it all away. I will tell you that it is now recognized as a national park reserve, and this place is breathtaking, serene, majestic, and it's huge, and it's truly part of the last unexplored places. Now, there's been people who have been there. There are some people who have lived around that area, but there's so many places, like the mountains and all of that is so steep that there's places like caves that no one's ever been in. So, you know, like it's really still unexplored.
That's so bizarre to think of that there is places in this world that we've never even seen.
Right. And even just like it hasn't been studied with their ecosystem and all. So like, yeah, they're like, okay, this animal's here and all of that. But again, it's so far down, like the water is so far down that like no one's been to the very bottom. So we don't know what is down there. And again, all the way at the top of the mountains. We don't know what's up there either. So it's just like, no, no, no. I don't like the unknown.
Well, they say that we know more about space than we do the ocean.
And that's why I don't trust the ocean. I mean, I'll trust it on a cruise, but not but not me with my little feet up in there. Uh-uh. So obviously it's remote. And some of the reason that people don't go there a lot is because you have to travel by either plane or boat. But then even if you get there, you still have to do a pretty treacherous hike to make it to Nahanni Valley. It's not like, you know, other national park reserves where you drive up to the parking lot, park your car, and then walk in. You know, it's definitely not that easy.
That's more my speed.
Me too. Now, normal outdoorsy people would be like, yeah, this looks like every other remote destination. But for me, I was trying to describe it. And I was like, it's giving Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, like that kind of just like, wow, that place exists. Like, that's not CGI.
Right.
You know, it's so beautiful. It has huge waterfalls and just everything. I don't know. It's just breathtaking. I think they say it's like Canada's Grand Canyon, but grander. Now, there's a long history of Indigenous people and different tribes living in the Nahanni Valley. I mean, like 10,000 years ago and stuff, you know, a long ass time ago. Now, the Dani or Dene tribe, I heard it several different ways, so I hope one of those is correct. But this tribe is one that we know did inhabit the region for a while. But they speak of another tribe called the Naha, and the Nahanni Valley is translated to the river of the land of the Naha people. So, like, I feel like they did exist, because why would they have named this place after these people? But the Naha were very aggressive, and they lived up in the mountains, but they would travel down and then raid other tribes and kill other tribes. Now, some people said they were cannibals, but I don't know. So it was basically like the Naha were boogeyman. You know, it's like you never knew when they were going to attack, how bad it would be. But it was always just that impending doom. Until one day the attacks stopped. Now, when people went up to look for the Naha, because they were planning their own revenge, they found their settlement, but it was like they had just vanished into thin air. So everyone was like, okay, but like, where did they go? What happened to the Naha people? Or were they just planning their next attack? And, you know, some people say that they're still there to this day, but others are like, no, something otherworldly happened, because they wouldn't have just left their settlement looking like they just, you know, were cooking up some stew and tanning some hide.
And then just literally up and vanish.
Yeah.
Like, what in the Atlantis is going on here?
Yes. So put a pin in that, because we're going to fast forward when the Klondike Gold Rush happened. And it was just like every other gold rush where people, you know, rushed to strike it rich. But this was in Canada. Now, three of these prospectors were the McLeod brothers, Willie, Frank, and Charlie. There are accounts that say it was just Willie and Frank, but a lot of people said Charlie was there.
And they would do a lot there, huh? Like, what would they do?
Oh, for a Klondike bar?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, I don't love Klondike bars.
You know what? That's Colby's hyperfixation right now.
Oh, my gosh.
He ate one yesterday at his mama's. I ate a drumstick.
Now, drumsticks, that's my jam.
Those things are so good. Especially the caramel ones.
Mm-hmm. With the last little bit.
That last bite is the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get those as ice cream toppers.
Oh, really?
They sell them in like a bag. Have I ever bought them? No. Do I ever remember that one on ice cream? No.
Okay, well, back to these Klondike peeps. So they were from Edmonton, Alberta, but they packed up their gear, went to follow their dreams in 1904. And they seriously traveled by train, by boat, and by foot in this remote wilderness. But it turned out to be the best decision for them, because they actually did find a lot of gold in the water. So what they had were like, almost like they sifted through things. Like, mm-hmm. They would put it in, and then like the heavy sediment would stay there. So like the gold and things like that, but the other would just kind of wash away. And did you ever do that at Landrum's Country?
Sure did.
Okay, I'll freaking love that. Like, you could do Fool's Gold and stuff. Anyway, but that's just, like, that's what they had. And that's what they were doing in this water at the creek bed. You know what I mean? It's not mm-hmm. like they're out in the ocean. They're literally here where the sediment is and all of that. So they were like, okay, let's take what we have home. We know this place is a gold mine. Literally. We're going to come back. We'll get more, you know, all the things. So they all agreed to head back. But when they were going down the river, and it's called Flat River, but it's anything but flat, the water was too choppy and they ended up capsizing because they were in like a canoe, basically. They lost a lot of their equipment and their boat was in pieces. However, they were determined to not go home empty-handed. Since now all the gold they found was at the bottom of this water, like Titanic in the heart of the ocean, they were like, look, we can make a makeshift boat and we can go back there, chop down some trees, do whatever we need to do, and we'll get some gold, come back, and so it won't be a complete loss. Like, we're here right now. So they did. And they headed back because they still had some of their equipment with them, not all their supplies and stuff, but it was enough. However, they weren't so lucky this time, and they eventually gave up, returned home empty-handed, but they did make it home. But the brothers were like, okay, we know it's there. Yeah, like, the second time we didn't get anything, but the first time we did, and we definitely didn't have all of our equipment the second time, you know, all the things. So Frank and Willie were gung-ho to make a second trip, but Charlie was like, nah, my dudes, we barely survived the first time, not going back on it. Like, not going to risk it for the biscuit. So Frank and Willie...
Did you just make that up?
No.
Risk it for the biscuit? I've never heard that in my life.
Yes.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Biscuit usually means pussy.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Would say the whole word.
The P word.
No, I'm just kidding.
I think. I feel like it. Or it like
makes
sex.
Sense. Yeah, it makes sense.
One thing she hasn't heard on TikTok. Me laughing at my own joke. God. Maybe I'm not cut out for TikTok.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know what? You are the instant gratification that you need for TikTok.
Yeah.
You won't be able to hear the masses lying. I mean, laughing.
Okay, Freudian slip.
But about what?
Lying that I should be on TikTok.
Right? Like, what even was that?
They're all going to laugh at you. Okay. So Frank and Willie were like, okie dokie, you stay here, Charlie, but we're going to find a third. And they did, their friend Robert Rear. Now, they told Charlie if they had found gold, they were going to stay there and mine until they couldn't mine anymore, you know, but they would send word back to him. So some months pass and Charlie's like, damn, they must be doing great. And they're going to come back and rub it in my face that I was a scaredy cat and missed out on everything, you know, all the things. But then those months turned into a year. But still, Charlie was like, okay, it's remote wilderness. It's not like they could easily send me a telegram. Like, they would have to travel to get word out. So maybe, you know, they're just mining away. I don't know. Is the Seven Dwarfs, were they miners?
Yes.
Okay. But then when 1 year turned into two, Charlie was like, nah, something is wrong. So in 1908, he rounded up a search crew and they went to the Nahanni Valley to find his brothers and their friend Robert. They were kind of worried because they weren't having good luck, but then they came up on this makeshift sign that said, we have found a fine prospect, which gave Charlie hope because he's like, okay, so they did find gold again. And he recognized his brother's handwriting. So they kept going and then they came up on another campsite. And this is in a place called Second Canyon because there's four canyons that people, like, you pass by the first one, that's the first one. Pass by the second one, you know, and
yeah.
I'm not going through the whole freaking geographical stuff because it's a lot of names and a lot of things and just know they're out in remote wilderness. But we're at the Second Canyon and they're like, whew, okay, we got a campsite here. So they get out to check it out. But they come across a terrible sight. There were two bodies. One was on the ground with an arm reaching for a rifle, and the other one was coming out of a tent, but the blanket was still like partially covering the body. So it was like whoever that was like waking up to like rush to do something. And like the cover hadn't even came all the way off. Now, they were a little decomposed, but the personal belongings, like a watch that was inscribed and stuff like that, let them know that it was the McLeod brothers. Oh, and remember that nickname I told you about, the Nahanni Valley? Well, it got its name from the discovery of their bodies, because also their bodies were missing heads. So it's known as the Valley of Headless Men. Now, Robert, the third guy, he was missing completely. But a couple of months later, a body that's thought to be his was found a little further down the river, but it was never confirmed because, oh yeah, it was missing a head too. Now, Charlie and his crew did alert the mounted police, and they did an investigation, but they were like, oh, these are natural causes, probably starvation, and the reason why the heads were gone is because of wildlife. But Charlie was like, yeah, no, but why was that person reaching for the rifle? Okay, wildlife coming, but like none of their other body parts were like, there was no wounds or no like, oh, wow, this happened. And also like, why was one just like positioned like it was getting startled out of bed? And if it was attacked by someone, like a person, why didn't they take their belongings, like the rifle, the watch, like all of these things that it's worth money? And again, if it was an animal, why didn't they have any gold that they found? Like the animal wouldn't take off the gold that they found.
Well, and not for nothing, but I feel like I've been talking about hunting a lot these past couple episodes. But during deer season, Colby's dad got a deer like right before the sun went down, and he tried to find it and couldn't find it right off the bat. But it was cold enough that he was like, okay, I'm gonna come back and get it in the morning. But like the meat wouldn't be spoiled because it was cold enough.
Yeah.
Well, when he came back, coyotes had eaten it, which is not uncommon. It's a risk you take leaving it. But like if it really was from wildlife, like you know it was from wildlife.
Yeah.
Like there's not just a...
like just the head. And the head's not the part that they would actually want.
Right. Exactly.
So fast forward again to 1917, and there was another prospector who was like, you know what? This is probably getting all blown out of proportion, and if there's gold there, I want it. His name was Martin Jorgensen, and he was a Swiss guy. His plan was to go out there, build a cabin, and stay right outside that valley through the winter, and then meet up with some friends to do the whole shebang together. Now, he did send word back that he had found gold when he was building his cabin. And he was like, damn, it's going great. Like, I didn't even mean to find this gold. Hell yeah, like, can't wait for y'all to get here. We're really going to get down to business. All the things. But he didn't send any more communication to his friends and family. And so they got kind of worried. But again, it's kind of remote. Like, he had sent some communication. And who knows, maybe he's like mining for gold on his own now, because he did, you know, like you got a little taste of it, now you want more. But then in the summer, when he didn't show up at their meeting spot, they went searching for him, and they found his body, and he was also decapitated or headless. Now remember, he had a cabin that he built, and that was burnt to the ground, and no gold was found. Again, there is an investigation, but the police are like, nah, natural causes, animal took his head. Not related to the previous deaths. No, not at all. Then in 1921, another prospector, John O'Brien, and his partner went on their own adventure. They were also trappers, so like total outdoorsy men. So they decided they were going to set up camp not too far from where the first peeps, the brothers, had set up their camp previously. Because again, if you saw this, like it's not where, oh, there's plenty of places to have this camp. It's like right on the water's edge until you get to the second canyon, and there's a little bit of shore there. And so like if you're there, that's where you're going to have your camp, basically. Right. So they were doing their thing, and they actually found some gold. But John went to check the traps that they had set, and a few days go by and he's not back. But his partner's like, okay, like who knows? But then 9 days passed, and so his partner went to look for him. And while he was looking for John, he found another prospector, and he was like, dude, I'm looking for my partner, you know, like I'm just kind of worried about him. And the other guy was like, no problem, I'll help you. Well, they found John, but he appeared to have been frozen to death. So it looked like he was about to light the campfire, like, but was frozen that way. He didn't have a scared expression or anything. Like, he was just enjoying sitting out by the fire. And, like, he even still had, like, the matches in his hand. So it was just like, wait, what? Because, again, if you think back to the other stories I've talked about with the, like, when they're freezing and the paradoxical undressing, when they were all found, too, like, they looked horrified because they froze to death and it was a slow, painful death. But this guy was looking like he was about to meditate. But the police were like, natural causes. And it was different than the other deaths, but it was still very weird. And weird shit repeatedly happened in this area. Like, multiple people went missing with no signs of foul play, never, like, anything. There were skeletons that were found that they couldn't identify the bodies. And one of the people who went missing was a woman, Ann Lafferty. Now, this was in 1926, and she was with a group that everyone calls a hunting group. So I'm assuming it's like big game hunting. I don't know. Like, I don't know. But obviously, we don't know what's all there. So maybe they were also just like wanting to explore that too.
Yeah.
Not sure. But they were in the Nahanni Valley near Flat River, and everyone was getting ready to turn in for the night and, you know, get ready for the next morning. They all woke up besides Annie, and she was gone. None of her stuff was taken, nothing like that. No signs of foul play. They didn't hear anything in the night. She had just vanished like a fart in the wind. They had several people looking for her and whatnot. And finally, a couple of months later, there is this indigenous man known as Big Charlie who was interviewed. And he was like, wait, so you're looking for a woman who disappeared from what area now? And they tell him, and he's like, you know, kind of scratching his head because he's like, okay, I didn't tell anyone this because I didn't want judgment and, you know, all the things. God, how many times have I said all the things this episode?
Make it a drinking game.
Like, all the time. But he was saying a couple of months ago, he was in the Nahanni Valley and he woke up to the sound of someone throwing rocks in the river. Or that's what he thought it was, at least. But when he got out of his tent, he saw a naked woman who was climbing up that steep mountain like an animal, basically, like on all fours. She was naked and there was no way that she could be scaling this rocky mountain, but she was. And the rocks hitting the water were the ones flying off the mountain as she was climbing it. So, I mean, it wasn't like big boulders. It was, again, like rocks. Like,
yeah, like, you know, like her slipping a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she looked back at Big Charlie and he said that her face looked possessed and nothing about it was right or normal. And he's like, no, no, no. And he went back in his tent. He was like, I'm not even going to fucking mess with that. Because a lot of the indigenous people believe that this place is haunted. Like, from the very beginning, they believe that. And they've said that there's been kind of like skinwalkers, but not skinwalkers, you know, and things like that. So when he saw that, he was like, not me, not tonight. And so he just, you know, like Homer Simpson back into the bush.
Yeah, because he's like me, he has a healthy fear.
Exactly. But also, you know, he didn't say anything because I feel like when someone who is indigenous still has those beliefs and voices their beliefs, it's like, oh, you're just supernatural. You're believing in all of that stuff. That's not true. So it's like, why would I tell you that this person was scaling this fucking mountain like a goat?
Right.
You know, she could not possibly be doing that, but she did it. Like, I'm not going to tell you that because you're not going to take me seriously, you know, and then it puts him in danger. Well, they showed him a picture and he was like, not the same face, but the same face, like not the same expression, but that's that person. But no one ever saw Annie again, like no sign of her. And so people say, yeah, she didn't lose her head, but she had lost her mind. And then once more in 1945, there is another miner from Ontario who was found with his head gone as well. He was still wrapped in his sleeping blanket, like he had been murdered in his sleep, but he had no wounds other than his missing head. And like, seriously, over 50 people have been missing or found dead in weird ways. And no one really wants to say on record that these might be linked or, you know, whatever. Because some people say, okay, well, it might be a miner who also, like another prospector who got jealous. And so that's why the gold was gone. But also people are like, okay, so like, where are these people? Where, like, we would have seen them at some point.
Yeah.
You know, and like, also some of these people weren't prospectors and it just doesn't really have any rhyme or reason, but it does seem like the place is kind of cursed. But like the Naha tribe, people say they might still be there. And that's, you know, like they're up in one of those remote caves that I talked about and they scale down the mountains and they're the ones who, you know, come and take the heads. Who knows?
But why just the heads? Because if that's where they live and they need food or whatever, like, why would they just take the heads? They wouldn't.
Right.
Because like you said, if someone, like an animal, or if those people really are cannibals, they're not. But if they were, like, that's not the part they'd take.
Yeah. And again, some people say, like, no, there's something supernatural here that is happening, and there's just no explanation for things. But other people say, like, okay, yeah, if you take gold from this land, because that's what a lot of, you know, the prospectors are the ones who were here first that started this whole headless thing. And it's like they were taking from this remote wilderness that hadn't been settled, that hadn't, you know, been explored. And then all of them had a tragic end.
So is it like the rocks and stuff that you're not supposed to take
from Hawaii and stuff? Yeah. Like that's what it's like. Okay, maybe that's it. And so like they don't make it off and that's why the gold is gone. But others say the Royal Canadian Mounted Police know who or what is doing this, but they cover it up and they take the gold and keep quiet about it. And like maybe that's how they get paid to keep quiet about it. Like, I'll leave the gold for you. We're going to do our own thing. So what do you think? Do you think it's just random that all of these people are having these weird, and like there's more things because like I could literally list so much, but it's like, okay, I'm just gonna be doing a listicle here.
Yeah.
But it's like a plane messed up like right over there, and like it's just like one of those things that it's so beautiful, but do you chance it?
No, you don't chance it. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I can tell you, if some shit was going to go down, it would go down for me. So no, you don't chance it.
Yeah, no. I mean, it is breathtaking. And I'm like, God, nature is amazing. But the idea that you have to take a boat, then a plane, then hike, and not just hike, but like a treacherous, like you might get hurt. It's going to take you several days or weeks to get to this location by hiking after you've done all that. That's a no for me.
No. Planes, trains, and automobiles, I'm down with. But hiking, I'm out.
It does make me like, this is where I get torn. Makes me want to go outside because it's like, God, the world's beautiful. But also, people are dying. And like, things just go missing in the woods.
Yeah, they do go missing in the woods. But if you're into woods, though, you die happy.
That's true. That one guy was lighting the fire. He seemingly died happy.
Yeah, it's, I honestly don't know what it is. I mean, who does? Because duh. But I don't think it's the mounted police. You would have to have so many people part of that conspiracy, like part of this cover up for it to work that I just feel like somebody would have talked.
Well, I mean, it was a long time ago where a lot of these happened. So those people have gone away now. But the thing is that I think people look at that because it's like you just dismiss everything and it's like not related.
Yeah.
Like animal attack.
I get that.
Natural causes.
But I also feel like that's of the times. Like they're like, we don't know what it is. Natural causes.
Right. Yeah. But I did like this because, you know, it's still spooky. It's still supernatural. Like what the fuck is going on there? But it was a little different than just like a haunted house.
Yeah. Yeah. I do feel like something's going on, but it does feel, if it really is like from the indigenous people, I think it's weird that the whole like tribe just disappeared.
Yeah.
And I don't know. When you said something, I was like, this feels skinwalkery to me. Mm-hmm. But then you said like kind of like skinwalkers, but not, you know, and I was like, oh, maybe it's not. But it feels skinwalkery.
I could see that.
Okay. Well, my story this week actually came from a recommendation from Creep Mom. And for my story, we are also going into another country, but we're going across the pond. And we're also going back in time. Like picture like 1860s. Okay, so I don't know where any of these places are, but I'll just tell you how the Wikipedia describes it as the northern side of Alton, a market town in Hampshire, England. But then I was listening to a podcast that was like, but not that Alton with the amusement park. It's a different one.
The only Alton I know is from MTV Real World Road Rules Challenge.
There were a couple of podcasts. One was called British Murders, and then one was called Crash's Murder Map. Those were the two that I listened to about this. And then there was this really great article on the hampshireculture.org.uk from the Curtis Museum that had a really good breakdown of this. Keep in mind, though, this story happens in the mid-1800s, so some of the details are different depending on what source you go through because it's, you know, 1860s. So we're talking about Fanny Adams. Now, from the 1961 census, we know that Fanny lived with her father and she had five siblings, but we know that she had a mom too. So that's weird that the census is like, she lived with her dad and five siblings. I'm like, are we not counting the mom? But the grandparents lived pretty close. Like, and by that, I mean next door. I don't know why I said it like that. That was so weird. Anyway.
You said it like people who don't want to tell that they live at home with their parents. And
yes.
Like, yeah, I live with roommates.
Yeah. Yeah, and my parents live very close.
Yeah.
Now, at the time of this story, Fanny was 8 years old. She was very bright for her age, and people said that she looked older because she was pretty tall, so she was me as a kid. Fanny had a best friend named Minnie, and they did all the things together. She lived next door, I'm assuming on the other side from the grandparents. Now, the area in which they lived had a lot of hops farms, you know, hops that goes in beer and all of that. So there was a lot of breweries. It was a very like, seemed very agricultural. Okay, so picture it. August 24th, 1867. Fanny and her friend Minnie, who are both about 8 years old. Now again, let me just say, ages kind of vary on some of the stories. Like some stuff say she was eight, some stuff says she was seven. Her sister was with them. Some stuff says that the sister's seven, some stuff says sister's five. So take it with it as you will. Her sister's name was Lizzie.
So they're like me with ages.
Pretty much, yeah.
Weight and ages, I don't know you.
So they are doing what kids did, and they're outside playing, getting into their little shenanigans, doing all the things away from the house because shoo shoo, get away from me.
Well, and how many people? It was five kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So while the girls are outside playing, they come across a guy named Frederick Baker. Now, Frederick was a clerk to a solicitor. So I'm guessing like executive assistant to an attorney, if you are in America, it's what it sounds like to me. Or it could be a clerk, like how people who are like doing like with law school and they're like a clerk to a judge or whatever, could be something like that. But either way, it was like a to-do job. And so it came with an air of trust and just because of the position that he held in the community. Now, there are a couple of different versions of how this went down. Now, everything talks about how Frederick was dressed. They say that he had on a black frock coat, had on a light waistcoat and like nice trousers. So again, his appearance and his job just lended itself to respect for the time. Now, something said that he offered Minnie and Lizzie 3 halfpence to like go and play, like get out of my face, like y'all are being too loud, go and play. And some stuff says that he gave him some money and was like 3 halfpence. Was like, hey, go buy us some candy. And like, we'll catch you on the flip side.
I feel like that's probably it. Because
right.
I feel like then they're like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll go and we'll come back and share it with Fanny.
Right. Well, that he offered Fanny 1/2 if she would go with him to the Hollow, which is everything in me wants to say the holler. And I feel like that is not how it would is supposed to be pronounced.
But is it the same thing?
It's yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay.
But it was basically like this road that led to the next town. Now, Fanny being Fanny was like, okay, took her half pence and then was like, sucka, I ain't going with you. Well, that pissed him off a little bit. And he like picked her up and started carrying her with him. Now, some stuff was like, she was like, absolutely not. And was like, bah. And he like picked her up and walked off with her while she was like, bah. But in 1860, people weren't like, hey, there's an adult man walking away with a screaming child that isn't his. Hold on, what? Like, people just, you know, it was like community parenting. So nobody really noticed.
Well, and if it was more like the first one where she got the money and then was yes. like, not going to do it, and then he picked her up, it's more like she might still think it's a game.
Right. And it's like, no, you know, did he? Everybody else, he'd be like, oh, he gave her money to go do a chore or something with him, and now she's refusing, so he's, like, forcing her.
Yeah.
Which, in that time, would be okay. It's not, but it would be then. Here's another place where the story kind of changes up a little bit. Some stuff says that the girls came back from getting the candy and was like, wait, what? Where's Fanny? Some stuff says that they had gone about their business playing, and it wasn't until way later that they were like, hey, Fanny's not here. So, we're going to kind of go with this side of the story. Where the girls were coming back from getting the candies and were like, hey, wait, where's Fanny? They're not here. So they ran back to their houses to tell this lady named Martha Warner that, and I think from what I understand, maybe she was like a babysitter or like a grandparent type person for them in the area. But to tell them like, hey, Fanny was taken with this guy. We don't know where she is. And Martha kind of ignored the story because, again, nobody listened to fucking kids back then. And this was a very safe area. And who abducts kids in the 1860s, right? Like, that's not even a thought to them, I feel like. So originally, all this happened at like 1:30 in the afternoon. As it gets closer to 5 o'clock, the girls are still kind of playing together, start kind of walking home when their neighbor sees the two of them and is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Where's Fanny? And they're like, girl, this is what happened. And she's like, do what? And so she goes to tell Fanny's mom. Now, Fanny's mom is like, wait, what? Fanny's missing? So she starts to freak out. The mom and the neighbor, Miss Gardner, start making their way towards the holler. I gotta do it. I gotta call it the holler. So as they're walking, they see Frederick Baker coming from the area. And Miss Gardner is like, what have you done with the child? And he's like, nothing. And Miss Gardner is like, you gave them money for the treats or whatever. And he's like, kind of like, yeah, I do it all the time. Like, apparently he was known around the area as like this candy man, essentially, but not the kind that Donna would do the story on, but that he would give money to kids for candy. And it seemed very like grooming, but 1860, nobody knows what grooming is. And, you know, it's not unusual to them that this 29-year-old who's not married, that doesn't have any kids, that has this relationship with kids in the community, they don't think that's weird. You know, now we would be like, that's weird. So as they question him, he basically admits to, yeah, I got them treats. Like, I bought them candy. I always do. And then they were like, we should call the police on you. And he's like, okay. But then they backed off because he's a clerk for the solicitor. And again, that in itself comes with a level of respect. So it was like, okay, we can't push him, even though this is weird. You just assumed that someone within a certain position wouldn't do something. You know, you assume that like a preacher wouldn't do something because of their position when we know that ain't true. So the mom, Miss Adams, and the neighbor, Miss Gardner, are looking around trying to see if they could find her. And time keeps on ticking along. And by 7 o'clock, she's still missing. And so the neighbors start to form a search party. Now, Fanny's mom is freaking her freak because she cannot find her. And as they're all looking, again, story changes on how this is found. But they find in a hops field a severed head mounted on like a hops post.
Oh my gosh.
So Fanny's mom is flipping at this point and goes to run to tell her husband, like, what all's going on, but he's playing like a cricket game down the street somewhere.
Of course.
And she gets to the point where she's like so like freaked out and distraught that she literally like passes out trying to run to him. So people end up going to get him to be like, hey, this is all happening. Like, we found her. She's been murdered.
Oh my God. And not just murdered.
Right.
But so, what are the chances about the head on the stick and mine were headless?
Fuck.
Like, did not plan that. Go ahead, though.
So as the dad gets back into town, George is his name, he is super pissed. And, you know, they tell him the whole story. And he, like, immediately gets a rifle to go find Frederick Baker. And everybody's like, no. Like, let's, like, hold on. Like, let's figure this out. Like, don't just go shoot him because then you're in trouble, you know? So this part that I'm about to tell you is really gruesome and obviously about a child. So please skip forward if you need it, okay? So like I said, Fanny's head had been decapitated. She had a cut from like ear to ear, like making the smile on her face, which is incredibly creepy and awful.
Yes.
Her arms and her legs had been dismembered from the trunk, and then there were cuts like in on her chest, literally like separating muscles. And then her arm had further been cut like from her elbow too. And then her foot was cut off the ankle. So not only did they take the limbs off, they then continued to dismember the limbs.
Oh my gosh. And sounds almost like dissecting, like with the cuts.
Yes.
Ooh.
Her pelvis had been completely removed and they had like made cuts and incisions on the liver. Her heart had been cut out.
What?
And her vagina was missing. And then both of her eyes had been cut out and found nearby the river.
Oh my God.
So.
Oh my God.
So tune back in if you had to skip through all of that. So needless to say, Fanny Adams went, it was brutal. But I will say, I'm going to kind of jump forward a little bit, that they found a rock that had some tissue and stuff on it. And their version of a coroner basically said that she did die from blunt force trauma to the head. And so that all of the gruesome things that we talked about was post-mortem. So he said that she died pretty instantly. So that's like the only saving grace of this story, is that she didn't have to endure all the things went through.
Oh my gosh.
So the police are starting to look for Frederick Baker.
But how did he do that and not have any blood on him?
We'll get there.
Okay.
So the police start looking for him, and apparently like a whole mob is looking for him too. And so they actually are like, what if he's at the solicitor's office? Because at this point, it's like, this is a Saturday and, you know, they found her body at 7. So, you know, we're getting on into the night here. And they're like, well, that'd be weird if he's there on a Saturday night, but okay. But he was. When the police get to the solicitor's office and they're talking to Frederick, they notice that the wristbands on his shirt and his pants are spotted with blood.
Oh.
Now, his boots, socks, and trouser bottoms and stuff were like very wet, like had been tried to be clean.
Oh.
And when they found those, he literally said, "That won't hang me, will it?" But then he tells police, "Oh, I actually like to walk in the water puddles and stuff while I'm walking." So that's what that was for.
You went too far. You pulled a Donna and like went to the worst like possible thing. And then it was like, oh, I mean, just randomly said that because I like to walk in the marshes. Yeah.
They found two small knives on him and one of them did have some blood on it. So they took him in. They arrested him. And they had witnesses that said he left his office at 1, which the girls, you know, that all happened about 1:30. They say that he came back at 3:25 and then left again at 5:30. And that's when the mom and the neighbor saw him coming out. They think like he killed her, came back, and then went back to like dismember the body. Now, one of his coworkers said that at about 6 o'clock, they had actually had dinner together at a pub. And Frederick told the friend like everything that had happened. And he literally, like, not the murder, like, about the mom, about Miss Adams and Miss Gardner, like, stopping and talking to him.
Oh, okay.
And he literally said, it'll be awkward for me if the child is murdered.
What?
And then he also told the guy that he might be leaving town on Monday. And the guy was like, well, probably be hard for you to find a job. And he was like, I could go as a butcher. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. The other thing is that after they arrested him, they essentially, like, got whatever the 1967 version of a search warrant is, and they were able to go search, like, where he was staying and his office. Well, they found his diary.
Oh, of course. Like, of course he has a diary.
They find an excerpt that literally says, quote, 24th August, Saturday. Killed a young girl. It was fine and hot.
What?
Yeah. This eventually goes to trial. And at the trial, he's like, I was drunk. I just meant that a girl was murdered that day and it was a hot day.
Okay. Wow. Thank you for being time and temperature.
So when they took him for, like, pre-trial stuff, you know, I forgot what it's called, where they, like, plea and all that. And he's like, no, I'm innocent. So that means they were going to have a jury trial. So in December, he went to trial. Now, Minnie had to testify. And the defense was trying to get her testimony removed because, I mean, she's literally identifying, like, he's the guy that took Minnie away. You know, it's damning evidence.
Yeah.
Also, the defense was like, the knives that y'all found were so small. Like, they could not have done what y'all are saying that it did. And the other thing that they did was they, after they were like, okay, get Myrna Minnie's testimony. Okay. If she's got to testify, well, those knives are too small. And then after all of that, they're like, all right, he's insane.
Of course.
Now, some stuff said that they said that he should be ruled insane, but or kind of like forgiven for this because his dad beat him as a child. And then I feel like one place I saw said his dad was insane, but his dad testified at his trial, so I don't think that was accurate. Now, at trial, his dad did say that he had a cousin that had been institutionalized multiple times and, like, four times, which, I mean, I feel like even now, for someone that has a chronic mental illness that they have to get leveled out and stuff with their meds, that's not a ton of times. Also, in the 1800s, if somebody was just quirky, you'd send them to an asylum, so four times in the 1800s is not that many.
Right.
Now, they also said that his sister died of brain fever, which basically is any infection that causes fever. Like, it could have been, like, scarlet fever. It could have been meningitis. It could have been something like that. So it's not even necessarily a mental illness, but they, because they call it, like, brain fever, I guess they attribute it to a mental illness. Mm-hmm. It's also said that Frederick attempted to die by suicide after, like, he had been engaged and it ended. And one of the podcasts I was listening to, the Precious Murder Map, they talked about how he had been engaged, but somebody had sent her a letter being like, don't marry him. Here's all the reasons. And it seems like maybe that he had a past of having some issues where he had been accused of doing inappropriate things with kids. And that maybe that's what the letter said. And so she didn't marry him. And then that's when he had his, when he attempted to die by suicide. But it did not take long when this went to the jury. I'm talking, they were only deliberating for 15 minutes when they found him guilty.
50 or 15?
1-5.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. They were not fucking around. So he was sentenced to death. And on Christmas Eve in 1867, he was put to death by hanging in front of a crowd of 5,000 people.
Holy shit.
Now, this was also one of the last public executions that was, like, done. And they were saying that basically these 5,000 people, like, this wasn't the majority of the town. Like, basically everyone came out to watch him be hanged for this gruesome child murder.
Yeah.
Before his execution, like, the whole time he was, like, in trial, going to jail, blah, 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 he was like, I'm innocent. But right before he was put to death, he actually wrote a letter to the Adams family asking for forgiveness and taking accountability for her murder. So even though he said he was innocent the whole time, he was guilty. But he, like, emphatically denied that he, like, sexually assaulted her. There was a headstone that was created by public subscription. So I think that means just, like, they took money for it. Like, the community did.
Like a GoFundMe.
Yeah, the original GoFundMe.
Yeah.
And there's this iconic picture with Minnie and Lizzie standing beside the headstone because they were with her right before she was murdered.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. It's just so sad to, like, think of them, you know, with the headstone.
And they look so young, but also so old because of, like, how they're dressed and, like, the time period. But, like, they're still so young, but not innocent anymore. Their friend, their sister, murdered, gruesomely murdered. And now they'll never be able to trust again. Never, you know, like,
I know.
How do you get past that?
So this, of course, became like a very well-known story that has transcended time. But there are a couple of sayings that came from this story that are actually pretty terrible. It's one of those things where I think that people who said these sayings like hundreds of years later had no idea where the sayings came from. And then once they find out, they're like, oh, this is actually really terrible. I shouldn't say this anymore. Which we're still learning. Like, even now, some of the sayings that we've grown up saying our whole lives, it's like, oh my God, that's incredibly racist. And I had no idea the origin of it.
Right.
And, you know, you have to change what you say. Just a few years after Fanny Adams was murdered, the Royal Navy began getting in there, like, they started getting, like, tins of, like, T-I-N-S, tins of food, of mutton, you know?
Yeah.
And they basically were like, this looks disgusting. And so this is really terrible. So they said that the mutton must surely be Fanny Adams. So there started being a phrase called Sweet Fanny Adams, and it meant like nothing. And so they started calling those tins like fannies. And so, like, even it seems like still to this day, they'll call those little tins of food fannies.
Oh my gosh.
But there's, like I said too, there's a big saying now that is Sweet Fanny Adams or Sweet F.A. And it literally is like to mean nothing. Like the meaning is nothing. So I think it's one of those things where people have no idea where it came from.
Yeah.
Because again, there's so many sayings that when you look up the origin, you're like, oh fuck, that's actually terrible. That is like, that's actually being stereotypical of a whole population, or, you know, that's incredibly racist and harmful and hurtful to people. And so I think this is one of those things that if people really knew that they were calling that what it was, they would be like, oh, absolutely not.
Right. God, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Like, so fucking brutal.
Oh, like, so fucking brutal. But because Frederick Baker had only lived in the area for about, you know, right at a year. So people didn't really know him, but again, they trusted him because of his position in the community. And what they didn't know is that, you know, he did have a past of, you know, accusations involving a child that had never come to fruition because, you know, when you've got money and, you know, the family of the kid, like, left town and all that because of everything.
Yeah.
You know, it goes away, especially in the 1800s. And so as far as I know, he didn't have a police record, you know?
Right. You know what I hate is, like, while he is not known as a murderer, he's a well-to-do guy. He's so capable and has this great job. But then they're like, he's insane. He's not, like, you can't blame him on anything.
Right.
But it's like, okay, but you, like, literally put him on this pedestal before, but now you're saying, like, basically he's not capable of understanding right or wrong, but he was working for a lawyer.
Right. And he was capable of doing all these other things when he was this fine, upstanding citizen.
Uh-huh.
But all of a sudden, oh, he's got all these issues.
And also, I'm not saying you can't be
a functioning in society with a mental health issue. Correct.
Yeah. Not saying that. It's just how they paint pictures, how they've done it all the time. Like, okay, so even like Jodi Arias, where they make her look more mousy and more this, like, she could never do anything. She, you know, all of that just to make you think that that's what they're doing, but they're like diminishing his capacity to help him get off of a brutal murder.
Yep.
And it's like, don't fake that. Don't, I don't know. I hate when people do that, because then the people who seriously have mental issues that do impair their judgment and all of that, like, it's not believed in the courts then, or things like that. They're still on death row, or you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I don't know. It just makes me so mad.
And if you're looking legally at what an insanity plea is, it's, did they know right from wrong in that moment? Like, were they capable of that? And he did. Like, even if you have some sort of mental illness, that doesn't mean that you are exempt from being punished for your crimes. Because someone with a true mental illness, again, we've said this over and over and over again, someone with a true mental illness is typically more harmful to themselves than another person.
Yeah.
Because the big thing for everybody to say is, oh, they're schizophrenic, or they have DID or something like that. And it's like, yeah, again, statistically, people with those diagnoses like do more self-harm than harming other people.
Right. And also, when he saw the mom and the neighbor, he was calm as a cucumber.
Right. And he was, that was kind of the sentiments throughout too. Like, when the police were talking to him, when he was being taken to the station, all of the things, like, that's how he was. He was like, so just nonchalant.
He went and ate after.
Right.
Like, fucking ate after that. And then was like, oh my God, I'll probably be the one who killed her. Like, they're going to think I killed her or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
and I should be a butcher.
He was so nonchalant about shit. Like, no, that wasn't like a mental break or anything like that. Like, he, no.
Yep.
Gosh. Well, I'm glad, like, it wasn't like too long of descriptions and stuff. Like, it happened and then it went on. It wasn't like the toy box killer, which would have been like days and days and days and days and all of that.
Yeah, that's literally the only solace that you can get from this, is that it seems like she really did die pretty instantly, and what didn't have to live through the brutality that her poor body faced.
Yeah.
Well, y'all tell us what y'all think about Donna's case. What the heck is happening in that? I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. Is it supernatural? Or is a whole population of people hiding away? What's going on? I can tell you it ain't the latter. But for real, thank y'all so much for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, review, all the things. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.